Hello, everyone. Who is ready to get their ass kicked for weight loss stalls and plateaus?
I forgot to wear my camo.
I did not forget.
I swear to God. So for all of you, so MJ and I were sitting around planning the No BS rewrite for 2020. And we were with the other coaches, and I don't even know how I got started, but we said something about we were talking about weight loss stalls and plateaus. We were like writing the lesson, and then we were like, we could break those asses. And like, we were just joking around. I was like, oh my God, we really should do a call like that.
I know, so, right?
We are here. First of all, we are going to answer questions. So you guys need to, let me pull up the participants. I just want to get all my stuff correct. Okay. This is what I want to do tonight. The first thing I want to do is just have a conversation with MJ about like her thoughts, my thoughts on stalls and plateaus, like kind of just like literally just what we think. This is like our opinions. And then if you have questions, put them in the Q&A. We're going to answer. And then if you want to get coached, we'll probably call on one or two people. So if you want to get coached, raise your hand. Let me tell my side of the weight loss stall plateau story, and then we'll get to anything MJ wants to add or say to you guys. In my opinion, it is rare that someone has what's called a true weight loss stall or plateau. A weight loss stall or plateau is where you are actually doing all the things, and you're doing them for about 4 to 6 weeks, and the scale literally, it's just moving 1 to 2 pounds up and down. It's just really not doing anything. What I commonly hear is I'm doing all the things, like I'm doing my discovery worksheets and I'm paying attention to my hunger scale. Doing all the things means I don't have discovery worksheets. I've already worked through that part of the process. I'm not paying attention to my hunger scale. I know my hunger scale. I've already worked through that part of the process. A weight loss stall or a plateau is when your body refuses to drop weight regardless of all the things you're doing. That's like a real weight loss stall or plateau. But what I hear you guys do is stall yourself out by saying, I'm on a stall. For some reason, I don't understand why this bitch-ass scale won't move. I'm only overeating a couple times a week. I only do like have to do one discovery worksheet now. I only fuck it eat occasionally. Or, well, I'm tracking everything except for those nibbles I'm doing. That is not doing all of the things. So what I would rather hear you guys saying is if you still have overeats, you're still like going past your two or not waiting until you're hungry, say, I notice my weight is not moving because I'm still having overeats and I'm still doing this. I should probably work on overeating, not sitting around stalling your emotions out and frustrating the fuck out of yourself by acting like I should be able to lose weight and have about 10 to 20% assing around, not count. That's like frustrating, and that will stall you big time. All right, what's your opinion? What have I missed, MJ? I don't know why I'm so preachy. I'm extra preachy tonight.
You really are preachy.
I think it's because you're here. You're bringing it out of me.
Oh, my gosh. No, I mean, my whole thing is, like, every other time that I've been on any kind of weight loss program, and then I start, the scale's not moving, it's not moving, all of a sudden, like, I go right to, I'm broken. I knew this shit wouldn't work for me. I knew this was too good to be true. Like all of that stuff, instead of like getting on the problem solving train, like it's always just goes back to what you've always done. Like, well, I knew, you know, you just start getting on the, you know, put on your shawl, your shame shawl, and like get on the pity party and like call all your friends and be like, well, Corinne, I thought she was the answer, but she just wasn't. Like you have every other time. Instead of saying like, what the fuck am I doing? What can I do better? Like, what is one thing I can do to make it better? And you make it all about, you know, like, you know, what's wrong with you and what's wrong with the program instead of like, what can I do better?
Right. Well, I think that's really true because what I see, it's a lot of wanting to not, like, I don't understand. I never understand this. when somebody says my weight loss is stalled and I'm like, okay, well, you send me all your food logs and I'm going to be looking at literally just food. I'm not going to see any kind of assing around. Well, no. I'm like, okay, so why, like, what is it going on in your brain that prevents you from wanting to look and clean those up? That's the real problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, is there self-shame going on? Is there like, this shouldn't be enough to stall me? Like, I love it when somebody says, yeah, but doing so much better than I was, that shouldn't be enough. It's like, no, it is. You know, for a while, you could do those things. Now what the scale is saying, you can't overeat and lose weight at this stage. Like, Now we have to clean these up. And that is like the next level up. And it, most people don't want to do it. It's like, because they were able to lose weight while holding on to some entertainment eating and some emotional eating and stuff. And it's like, oh, fuck. So now I really got to work on being bored. Oh, fuck. Now I got to really, like, because they always think, like, I'm going to have to take food away from me. This is what I always love, too. This is another problem. I'm on a weight loss stall or plateau. I notice these overeats and stuff. I got my habit tracker going. And I suddenly am going to cut out carbs. Rather than cutting out Friday night, when I go face down in a pizza and eat all I want because I'm celebrating the scale or pissed at the scale. Like, maybe we should address that. You don't have to give up all your carbs. You have to give up eating pizza on a Friday night because of a reaction to the scale.
Yeah.
So it's like looking for those obvious things.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you just have to say, what can I do next? What can I improve? What is one time you did like a, the gift of fat last summer. And I was like, what can I give? Like, I was at goal weight. I was like, what else can I do? And I was eating Noosa yogurt, which is of the devil. If anybody has ever had the Noosa, it is like the tastiest, most delicious thing in the whole wide world. It's filled with sugar, filled with sugar. So I was like, that's what I'm going to change. That's my level up. I'm going to change it. I lost 4 pounds in a month. That's the only thing. Yeah, giving up my yogurt for lunch. That was all I had to do. Like, that was it. It was not like I had to, like, never go out with my friends on Friday. I didn't have to give up wine. I didn't have to give up Chinese. I didn't have to give up pizza. Nothing. I gave up the damn Noosa at lunchtime.
Well, that's also a good point is when people, like, let's say you have 2 or 3 weeks of, let's say, like, it's legit. Like, you're not overeating. You're, you know, you're just, you've come to the point to where what got you here won't get you there.
Yeah.
So immediately you're like, oh, now I got to like change all the things. It's like all of a sudden brains flip the fuck out and look into the future and all they see is rice cakes and chicken breasts. It's like, what about Noosa? Like, I mean, it literally could be like, look at your things. Like, I always love to go back, and I do this periodically. So I'll take my planner. I'll go back and I'll look at, because I eat kind of boring. I eat the same kind of, like, when I say boring, I don't mean tasteless. I mean, here's my leftover lunch. Still sitting here, by the way. My leftover steak. I'm, like, so proud. I've also been having to watch it because the cats are going to try to get a chaw on it and choke themselves to death. But I look through my food. And I'll always catch that there's like one thing that's like snuck back in, or there's this one thing that I'm eating that I like, but I'm like, at the end of the day, if I get to keep all of this, this guy could go. So like for me, like the last month, I've not been doing the Halo Tops. I was like, no, I don't really need them. I'm going to give them up. Like that's the one thing. I've kept wine. I had, what was it the other day? I kept my pop chips. No, wait a minute. Well, I hadn't had pop. Well, I've been at the hotel and stuff. So I hadn't had pop chips. Well, like when we were at the hotel, did you see me eating French fries?
Nope.
No. But did you see me make loaf of mashed potatoes?
I sure did. I did. I saw that. Yeah.
But that was because like I had planned for the hotel and rather than sitting there thinking it's going to be so hard at the hotel, I can't have anything that I want, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? I'm going to make it through the weekend without the French fries. I know that I can go all weekend without French fries. And that put me in a mindset the entire weekend to do better, to like pay attention when I was eating and stuff. But if I'd went in thinking, well, I'm not going to be able to have any wine, and I'm not going to be able to have this, and I only can eat a salad, do all this other stuff, I would have felt like shit. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it is when it comes to stalls and plateaus. You know, if you're on a legit one, look at what you can small clean up. There's always something. Like when I was losing weight, I remember when we would go to IHOP for a long time. I could go to IHOP. I could eat pancakes and I could eat everything. My first big level up at IHOP was not having that butter patty on there. Like, you know, that big solid golf ball they put on there. I was like, all right, Corinne, we're going to get serious. No more butter on them damn pancakes. I'm still eating everything else though. And then I remember wanting to, like, I was doing all kinds of stuff and my weight loss was slowing. So that's when I started looking at little things, and we wanted to keep going to IHOP. It was really important to, that was the only restaurant Logan liked when he was little. And I remember when I finally quit eating the syrup, I thought, I wonder what a fucking IHOP pancake tastes like without syrup. I just always thought it had to have it. And then when I took a bite of it, I was like, oh, like cake. I don't need syrup.
Yeah. Like,
tastes like cake. I think I can do this, you know. But those are the things. And I know for a lot of you, when you lose, this was where I was 40 pounds down, probably 40, 50 pounds. And that's when I started giving up like syrups and stuff like that. So really be thinking about as you're losing your weight, and you'll see it's a natural flow that you are going to be having times where it comes off faster. You're going to have times where it comes off slow. You're going to have a couple weeks or so where it's not going to move at all. It is supposed to ebb and flow like that. I think that's also really important to understand when it comes to a stall or a plateau, is it's not supposed to be like, I can count on, you know, like the Bible, that this is going to be at this pace and at this rate all the way through. That's just not how it works. It is supposed to be almost like chaotic, and like you don't want it to be dependable. And the main reason why you don't want the scale to be dependable is because if you need it to be dependable, that means you are now transferring how you feel in terms of how good you feel about you and your confidence level and all of your motivation. You're saying the scale provides that. I am not allowing how I'm showing up for myself, the decisions that I'm making, the things that I'm doing, the stuff I'm like saying no to, the things I'm saying yes to, the amount of planning, all of that. Me doing that, that's where motivation, that's where confidence, that's where all of that's supposed to come from. Like, depend, you want to feel certain about weight loss and dependable? Look at your actions and get your feelings from how you're showing up for yourself. Don't rely on the scale to provide those feelings for you, because it is like not going to do it. It's not even its job. It's not ever supposed to even act that way. And yet we have this false sense of how it should be acting.
Yeah. And it's about the scale. Like, that's what's so good about the planner and the habit tracker and the plans and assessments, all that kind of stuff. Like, I used to live or die by the scale. Like, if it was up, like, it was up. Like, and I had no way of knowing why. Like, because you forget by Friday what you ate for lunch on Monday. Like, you just can't remember that stuff. And so when you are really good at keeping the rest of your data, when you get on that scale, it's one piece of it instead of all of it. Like, you put all of your like data eggs in the scale basket, and then you're like, well, I forgot Sunday we had some cheesecake and two glasses of wine. Well, damn. But well, you forget that stuff.
That is such a good point, because like for all of us sitting here, how many of you can tell me what the hell you did 3 days ago? Most of us can't remember where we were, who we talked to, what time we woke up, what state we were in. Half the time I'm like, what month is it? You know? And yet we'll get on the scale and we'll sit there and think that we remember every single thing we ate for the week. We have no idea why this happened. I'm like, if you need to be writing all of your stuff down so that you have that like good collection of your memory on paper to explain why today is today. I also like collecting the data mainly just to reinforce too, when the scale is moving at a good clip or it's moving in the right direction. Like, I want to know the stuff that I did that's working. Like, these foods are working. These things are getting it. So that way, if you hit a stall or plateau, you could go back 2 months ago and say, like, all right, is my eating when the scale was moving really, like, for all of you who join and you lose 20, 30 pounds, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just can't lose any more weight. I don't know what happened. I've been bouncing around the same 5 pounds, blah, blah, blah. If you've got your logs from 8 weeks ago when the scale was moving, just look at 1 week in comparison. Make sure that you aren't telling yourself some fantastical lie that you're doing everything. And then if you compare and you're like, oh, that 8 weeks, I was highly motivated and I wasn't overeating. This week, I was sitting around poo-pooing all over myself about what was going on, feeling very unmotivated and letting an extra glass of wine come in 3 times a week. That is the reason why we write stuff down.
Yeah. That's the best way to get everything and then really see if you are on a, and like you've always said, if you're really on a dollar plateau, bring me all 6 weeks of your stuff and we will help you figure it out. But you got to have all that stuff.
So Honey Tree, which I love the name, asks, if I'm on a stall and the scale isn't moving, am I lying to myself about doing all the things? The only way that you know if you're telling the truth or not is by going through your data. So I want you to look at, all right, the last time the scale moved down was on this date. Look at everything after that. Count up your overeats. Count up how many times you just like changed plans and did those things. If it's more than one, you're not on a stall or plateau. That's not a stall or plateau. A stall or plateau is zero overeats, guys. It's just following your plan every day, stopping before you're full and not starting until you're actually hungry. That's all it is. And when you've done that and it's like, oh, my weight doesn't seem to want to move, then you get to start making micro shifts and little things like dropping a yogurt for a week and see if that makes the difference. Subbing out, like if you've been eating baked chips, it's like, well, maybe this week for 3 or 4 days, I will have fruit instead of chips to see if doing that mixes things up. But like if you have those weeks where you're like, no, it was all really dialed in. I know it was dialed in. That's when I would send, like, I would just post every one of those logs and I would make a big jumbo post and ask coaches, like, day one, day two, give us like 10 days of stuff. Now, this is what you don't do. You don't give us your 10 best days. You don't give us like 4 here, skip 2, then these 3, and then miss this one. It's like, we need 10 consecutive days of exactly what you ate. Give us like, I ate this. I know for sure I started at a -2 because I wrote that shit down in my planner. I wrote down my signals and my hunger cues. Tell us all of that, then we can help you. But giving us your highlight reel is a signal that you need to look at your low light reels. The answers will be there. And for most of you, this is what's, I think, the most frustrating part with the stall or plateau when it comes to, it's not really one. It means I've cleaned up the easy overeating at this point. Like everything that was going to be easy to change and everything that was going to be simplistic, that part of the journey is probably done. And now I'm moving into the part of the journey where I'm really addressing like not eating when I just want to. Purely just want to, and learning the skill of sitting with that, overriding want, like, let's say that you do really well all week long and you've been able to lose weight by just cleaning up the week, but you're still able to just eat your face off all weekend, which some people are able to do that for a while. So they just turn off their, you know, their hunger and their like signals of satisfaction all weekend long, and they use that to relax. So they haven't really had to address all of their emotions around like, why am I so stressed out for the weekends and stuff? Well, the scale is now telling you it's time to clean up your life. You need to be able to eat healthy on the weekends and not hate it. You need to be able to get through a weekend and not feel like you're not relaxing because you're not eating everything you want. That is part of the work now. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's not skeleton work. It's not any kind of deep cuts and stuff, but it is now like, okay, it's time to start talking to myself. Like I will see this, a lot of stalls and plateaus start with someone all week long making themselves eat 2 to 2, making themselves make a plan. And the whole conversation about what they do Monday through Friday is not lush. It's not terrible, but it feels like work. And it's like that conversation probably now has to be changed, because if you have that conversation around food and your planning, plus if you're in the habit of talking to yourself about the 2 to 2 and your food plan that way, you're probably in the habit of talking to yourself about that when it comes to laundry, dishes, taking care of your kids, talking to your husband, having sex, going to work, answering the telephone, not answering the telephone, your traffic jams. They probably all are very low level, shitty, depleting conversations. It will show up in how you talk to yourself about how you're going to be planning your food. It will be the warning signal going off. We need to clean up how you're viewing your life so that by the weekend, you don't need to eat to get away from it.
Mm-hmm. And plan some of those foods during the week that you like are saving for the weekend. Like, you know, like the fun foods, whatever you tell yourself, like put some in during the week so that you're not like, I'm saving those. They're like, they're so like take the special out of them, mm-hmm. Plan them on a Wednesday night and eat them. Like, don't make them so special. And the other thing I see all the time is like, you still like, so people will eat less, they'll start to lose weight, and then they know how much they serve themselves. Like, I eat on a smaller plate, it's so good, and I can still finish it, and you get like 30 pounds down, and then you're not losing weight. But you never question your hunger again, because the amount of food you need at 250 pounds is different than the amount of food that you need at 210 pounds. Yeah. And so if you're a person who is still in that clean plate club, even though it is a smaller plate, you know, every 20, 30 pounds, you're going to have to readjust and reassess that hunger scale. And,
yeah, you know, just take it, and it's usually not nearly as dramatic as you make it. It's not like you're going to cut down a whole nother half a plate.
Right.
So just start with a little bit less. The other thing that happens too that I think is important is when you are like at 250 versus the 210 is thinking about like I think that this comes up a lot. People will say, but I'm doing so much better. I eat so much less than I did. And I'm like, yeah, but you used to eat out of control and you used to eat everything that you wanted and felt guilty about it. And you used to eat and you were slowly gaining weight to the, like you finally kept gaining weight to a point where you said like, all right, it has to stop. So it's like, it is better. We're not diminishing that, but it's not useful to think about it because you're comparing someone now who wants to lose weight to someone like, it's so much better than the version of me who ate her face off. You know, it's like they're not the same. So it's not a useful comparison either.
Yeah.
All right. Could you all do a podcast about the scale jumping up and down for daily weighers? I don't even need to do a podcast on this. We actually have some stuff in here. Isn't that in the phase 4 of the maintenance? I mean, like in the no BS, we have one on the scale somewhere.
I think a video
on the scale. But here's the thing. How do you manage your thoughts around true weight gain versus natural fluctuations? True weight gain comes from eating. Natural fluctuations, yeah, sometimes the scale's going to go up a couple of pounds. If you look back at your data for a week and there's no overeats, then you should just be solid and trust that's natural. Of course, that's part of the journey. But if you weigh every single day, you need to prepare. The scale doesn't go down every single day. It goes like the scale always goes just like this. That's its job to go up and down, all the way down. The overall trend is what goes down. That's the way it works. But natural fluctuations don't have overeats behind them. That's the easy answer. So in terms of managing your mind, the best way to do it is like get your number. And if it's like, oh, it's up, let me check my data. Did I do that by eating or is my body just on a natural fluctuation? Period. That's all you got to do. Kathy and I also have a couple of podcasts on the scale where we talk about all this too. All right. My pattern of weight loss for the last 6 months, I lose weight the week after my period only. I'm 67 pounds down because of you and 60 to go. I'm in the phase of tweaking what I'm doing to keep weight loss going. Weight loss is going. I don't know why you want to tweak. If you only lose weight once a month and you're lost 67 pounds, I would be like, well, that works. You could be super proud, super pleased with yourself the other 3 weeks when it's not moving, when like counting on that week after the period, because that's when the magic happens for me. I mean, you could be thinking that way. I only get feedback once a month on if this is working. No, you don't. You get feedback every day. You know how you get feedback? I wish I had my planner. It's downstairs on my couch. You have your planner? Turn to the assessment page.
Oh, I flipped way back to the journal page. There you go. Assessment.
There's your feedback. That tells you if you are doing the right things or not. The scale doesn't do that. Seriously, think about it. The scale doesn't tell you if you're doing it right. Your actions do. Your actions produce a result on the scale. So if you want to know, are you doing it right? Take a look at how you're showing up for yourself. If you are like consistent with your hunger scale, you are consistent making a doable 24-hour plan, and you stick with it, and your habits are check, 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 I'm getting my sleep, getting my water and stuff, you got all the feedback you need. Scale will be a result of the things you do. You guys have it backwards. You're like, I'm going to look at the scale and then decide what I'm going to do. If that's the wrong thing, say like, here's what I want to have happen. Weight off my ass. What's that going to take? Doing these little things. Be more focused on what you're doing, guys, than you are on what the scale is saying. The scale goes down when you do, not when you think about the number. I confused a stall with my body getting ready for a big fat dump. I just needed to stay consistent. Maybe that's my body's pattern of losing weight. Yeah, so what a fat dump is where, did you ever do this? Did you ever have fat dumps?
I did have fat dumps. I sure did. Uh-huh.
Well, can you tell them about your fat dumps?
Yeah, like it would just be like.
That's a redneck term, isn't it?
I know, right? Like it's just a time like when the scale, you're like, I'm doing all the things. And you really are doing all the things. And then you go back and you start to look and then you don't really see the scale move. And you're like, well, crap, like, what am I doing wrong? I don't know what's wrong. And then all of a sudden you get on the scale 1 week and it's like 4 pounds down. And you're like, what? Where did that come from? Yeah. And it just like, it's like your body just hangs on for a while. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, why are we hanging on to this? I forgot the last 3 weeks to hand this off. Here, yes. Here's all of it at one time.
Yes. And sometimes what happens, so like, this is not like straight up science. Like I would never like read this in a book, but this is the watered down version of what actually happens. When you're losing weight, some people experience like where they'll have like a couple or 3 weeks where their scale won't really do anything. But during that 2 to 3 weeks, the body is preparing to release a lot of weight. And during that time, it's actually working really hard. And when it starts really working hard on like burning a lot of fat and repairing muscles and everything, it holds water during that time. Because the reason I have you drink so much water is because your body relies on water to do so much of the chemical processes that happen that allow you to poop, allow you to breathe, allow you to live, allow you to burn fat, to have a good metabolism and all those other things. So when you are losing weight is a stressful event on the body. The body, whether you got extra weight or not, once you padded it, it doesn't want to get rid of it. The body is very primitive. It thinks that, you weren't emotionally eating. Like the body doesn't understand emotional eating. The body always thinks extra weight comes from this is a group of, you know, like men and women wandering the savannah, preparing for the winter and needing to increase their fat stores so they do not die during the time when fruits and vegetables are not plenty and animals are available for hunting. Like, it literally thinks that when you add fat, it's supposed to hang on to it because hard times are coming and we're going to have to tap into that shit to keep you alive because you're barely going to be eating. So, cut to modern day where we're not waiting on a famine. We think that we need to eat because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon or we're going to starve to death by six. That's our famine period. We end up gaining weight. Then our body doesn't want to release it. But when we do start just eating enough, like we're not eating to full anymore, but we're eating just a little bit less, we're waiting until we're actually hungry, the body's like, we must be in the famine period. Like, it takes slight hunger and thinks it must be time for famine. So it'll drop some initial weight because that's what it's geared to do. And then sometimes it has stalls. So for 2 to 3 weeks, it doesn't want to release because it's holding water. It's burning up calories. It's trying to protect you and do all of its things. And then when it feels like, oh, she's going to keep eating. Like, this isn't like a real famine. This is just like what we normally eat now. It fat dumps everything. So you lose 3 or 4 pounds. That's why a lot of you, when you look at the scale and it doesn't move like you think it should, and your brain goes to the shitter, I'm a failure. It's never going to work for me. I knew this shit was too good to be true. When you do all that, you work yourself up into a frustrated tizzy and then you overeat. You hose yourself. If you are using your common sense and you're listening to our coaching calls and the scale doesn't move for a couple of weeks and you remind yourself, I looked at my data, I can take certainty in knowing the time's coming. Eating like this, living like this is such a good habit. This for sure is going to pay off. You don't overeat out of frustration. You keep doing what you're doing, and then your body settles back in, and then it will drop weight. So that's if somebody's asking, this is extend. I swear to God, it's extend. X-T-E-N-D. People are asking, what's that stuff in Corinne's water? All right. Do you have anything else you want to add on that one?
No, I think you explained it very well. And you had a bunch of people that were giving you the high five for your explanation in the chat.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Coach MJ was a couple of pounds out of her maintenance range and is actively losing that weight. Are there any sneaky thoughts that need working on to make weight loss easier for her? Listening to Corinne, Coach Kathy was next level.
Yeah, it was really good. It was good.
Coached MJ?
I know, I could. I mean, look, I'm about to open up my mouth and spill thoughts out. So a coaching might be a coming. I'm just saying. So for me,
anyway, when we're all together, we call it the coaching vortex around me.
Yeah.
And somebody will start just talking. Next thing you know, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It does happen. So, no, it really did happen. I mean, I'm saying it was when the COVID started. I'm not blaming the COVID, but all of my people came home. All of them. The children came. They all brought their dogs. And it was such a sweet thought. This is such a gift. I get to have my people back, and it'll be like it used to be. Well, the way that it used to be, my oldest was gone whenever I started losing weight. And so the way that it used to be was me drinking too much wine, eating too much food, cooking all the stuff. And I did not realize that thought was, it sounded so sweet. It sounded so good. It's going to be just like it used to be. And my brain was like, it's a buffet, just like it used to be. Yay, it's a buffet's coming. And so it was like those little quits, like one little thing, like, you know, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm going to make popcorn tonight. It's going to have real butter on it. We're going to have Domino's. It's going to be so much fun and all that kind of stuff. And like just that little bit, it was that, and it sounded so good. That thought sounded like it was a gift. Mm-hmm. It was not. I gifted myself too much. It's what I gifted myself. And so my daughter, my oldest, is moving to LA. She's on her way back home. She's bringing her dog. I'm not saying that again. She'll be here for 2 weeks while her stuff is in transit. And so I have really worked this week about, it's not like it always was. I am not that person who was face down in buttered popcorn and wine and Alfredo and whatever every day. That's not who I am. But that thought, it sounded so sweet and so good, but it just did not.
What's your new thought?
That's not who I am anymore. Okay. I am just not that person anymore. I don't choose to be that person anymore. Really? Yeah. You know? So, yeah, but it was that, it hosed me, that thought. But I found it sneaky.
Well, and I think that's such a good point, because I think a lot of people, you will have sweet thoughts. You will have things that, like, they just sound good. Here's how you know if a thought's working. Just because a thought feels good doesn't always mean it's working. So other night we were coaching the fuck it worksheet thing, and a lot of people stop with, it tastes so good. I mean, that's a very giddy thought. I mean, it's like, sounds amazing and it sounds very truthful. The problem is it's not a useful thought. If you really look at it and say like, oh, every time I think that it's going to be just like it used to, I have, you know, like ideas of what we can eat together. Like, it immediately takes me to all the foods I'm going to be cooking. That's when you can take a look at a thought and be like, okay, what do I really want to be happening, and how do I need to start thinking about it? So it's good. But I mean, I think you're a good example of, I think all of, like, I have gained weight in the past and had to re-lose a little bit. And I mean, not much, but I watch things. And when I start getting to the top end, I am like, all right, it's time. Like, let's just, and I do just like I teach you guys. I do not knee-jerk reaction. I do not take everything away from me. I look at my data, and I look for the things that, like, what is the easiest way to skin this cat? What are the little things that I can be doing? And it is a combination. I think it also takes that patience when you are wanting to, like, if you want to get off a plateau, or you want to, like, let's say you've gone back up 5 or 7 pounds or whatever it is. I always think one of the most useful emotions for those moments is patience. Because the first thing we want to go to is wanting to just, like, I want to get it off right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be who I was again. Like, there's this, like, this impatience for it all. And it's like, if you decide, I want to be patient and I want to be very deliberate about my choices, because I want to do things that I know are going to be super simple and not complicated. That cleans everything up. It makes a lot of your choices so much more crystal clear as to what to do.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, that was my first thought. Like, how fast can I get it off? I was like, why am I in a hurry? Like, I need to, like, one thing at a time, you know, do one thing at a time. What's one thing I can do tomorrow to make weight loss easy? Like, that's exactly.
Why do you think you were in a hurry?
Because I'm a coach. I'm a weight loss coach.
Like, what were you going to be thinking when you got your weight? Like, when you get your 10 pounds off, what do you think you'll be thinking or feeling?
Accomplished. I've been curious this whole time because of, there's something I did not learn. Like, I keep thinking that there's something that I missed that I need to learn. And so I've been doing so much more journaling, and so much more, like, just working on my thoughts about who I am, who I want to be, how do I want to live my life? What are the habits that support the person that I am? You know, I want
to. So when you get your 10 pounds off, when you're like, all right, I'm back to my goal weight, right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What will you feel?
Accomplished.
So you don't want to feel accomplished now.
Yeah, I know.
That's why you're in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving yourself any kind of space to feel accomplishment now. Like, so this is important. And the reason I'm asking you this is because I'm really trying to work with the girls on learning this concept. You can't delay accomplished. So every single day, in every single meal, if that is, like, if you sit there and you think, what is it most that I'm going to feel? You have to figure out, all right, that is what I'm ultimately seeking. So I've got to do it now. So tell me, how can you feel like, how can you legit tell yourself tonight after dinner and feel accomplished? Have you had dinner?
No, I have not had dinner.
Okay, you're going to eat dinner.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I think whenever I look at my plate and I know that there's food left behind because I listen to my body, because there's usually food left behind. If I'm following my hunger scale, like, that's going to be like, I did that. Like, I stopped, you know, like, just, I used to clean my plate. Like, I still get excited whenever I see food left on my plate.
Well, so trade excitement for accomplished. Like, look for a thought that you can use, like, even just tonight when you leave food behind, that allows you to feel accomplished. Do the same thing. Like, when you make your, like, I think this is a big key missing part for everybody who's trying to lose weight is, and especially if we've regained a little bit, that means that at some point you got focused, you took your eye off the prize of feeling accomplished, which is normal. You get very used to being at your goal weight. You're not just walking around everybody like, goal weight, you know, 15 years later.
Yeah.
But thinking about when you make a plan and when it's completed, what are you telling yourself in that moment? Are you even deliberately taking the time to tell yourself something rather than just like, that's done.
Plan's done. Check it off my list. Yeah. I don't think I am.
That's what I think is like missing for a lot of you. Because if you think about, I want you to think about when you were first losing weight, MJ, and you were like probably at the height of when you felt good about yourself as you were losing your weight. Because when, you know, for a lot of us, when we're losing, we have these moments where we're just, I just remember when I was losing mine, there were these periods when I was losing weight where I was so fucking proud of myself. Like, I remember having conversations like, oh my God, we're really doing it this time. And like, I would like do something, but like, I would like look at like the IHOP thing. I would look at Chris and be like, did you see I didn't eat syrup? Like, I was like, I want you to pet me on the head because I'm so proud. I think that we forget to do that. And so we're just like, all right, I've got this goal. I got to lose the 10 pounds. Like, I'm a coach. I'm this, you know, this is what I got to do and blah, blah, blah. And then it ends up being where you're taking it so serious, you will not feel accomplished at the end. You will feel like that's what a coach is supposed to do.
Right.
And you will suck all of that out of your own sales. So I think it's important for you to start thinking about, all right, as I'm doing the things, what am I telling myself when I start? Is that the best conversation I can have? Or is this just the conversation I'm having that's like going through the motions? Same thing with finishing each time. Deliberately saying like, in that moment, how do I want to think about myself? Is that the best conversation I can have? Or am I just going through the motions? Because if all of your weight loss is you just going through the motions, it falls flat. It does not feel motivating. It does not catch momentum. There's no excitement. There's nothing propelling you. You don't want to get to where you're having to shove yourself along. You want to be pulling yourself with the tether of accomplishment.
You know what? I this thought just came to me whenever you were talking. I think now when I'm doing those things, it's because I'm supposed to do them and not because like it just hit. Like I remember the first time I went to Mexican, didn't have chips. And I legit thought that when I walked out the door, the mariachi band was going to be playing for me. Like I knew that there was going to be a hat dance in the parking lot because I did not eat the chips. Like everybody should know. We should take out an ad in the paper, like just a level of pride that I felt for myself. But now when I'm doing those things, it's like, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm taking out that piece that I...
Well, how does that even feel when you think that's what I'm supposed to do? How does that, like, think about, like, dropping your body...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's my thought now.
But
like,
what does it feel like?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. Like, well, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to do it. Like, it's like something you have to do or I'm supposed to do it.
Probably feels like compliant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's sexy. No mariachi band comes out for compliancy.
No. But like it is. It's like because I'm supposed to leave bites, not because I'm a badass who leaves bites behind. That's a completely different conversation.
Well, and I think that's the reason why I love that we're having this conversation, because a lot of people get on stalls and they get on plateaus or they end up like dicking around Like there, I think there's stalls, there's plateaus, which is where the body is doing its thing, and then there's dicking around. I'm dicking around with 5 to 10. I would much rather somebody come on a call and say, like, I know I'm not on a stall or plateau. I'm dicking around, Corinne, because I'm telling myself I should be. Because to me, supposed to is the fancy word for should. That's all it is. So yeah, like start talking to yourself a lot better. That'll help.
I did not, until we just had this conversation, I did not even realize that that sentence was going through my head. I did not even know it. And as soon as you started talking, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like I started talking about this a couple, 3 weeks ago. We're doing more and more coaching around the idea of what is your conversation like? Like, take so much pride, like every time you make a choice, every time you make a plan, why not celebrate? Like, why not? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people saying, somebody said unintentional maintenance. No, dicking around. That's a new term. All right, Sarah, we're going to call on you.
People are like, I'm dicking around too.
Yeah, it happens.
You ready to get coached, Sarah? I wonder if she meant to raise her hand. Maybe not. Change her back to attendee. Oh, wait, she just started coming on. Oh, she was walking around, though. Raise your hand again, Sarah, when you get settled down. I saw the big sky behind you. Okay, I'm going to call on you. Be prepared. Did you see me yesterday? Somebody, like, was walking around. I was like, come on now. You're going to
sit. Get to sit. Somebody in the chat said, dicking around the same as fuckery afoot.
They're all yes. It's fuckery. It's dicking. It's all the words.
Yeah. Fuckery afoot. That's exactly. That was the best.
Like the Nobius Woman's Guide. Like, or the Nobius. You know how they have the Urban Dictionary? We need the Nobius Woman's Dictionary to die.
There's awesome. Dicking afoot. Somebody, Sierra said.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to come on? Where are you at? I think people just had butt dialed us. All right, we'll change back to the 10-day. If you do want to get coached, just raise your hand. We'll go back to the questions. Sometimes after day 5, I will eat off plan, then a stall for another week. When I do, that's not a stall. If you eat off plan after day 5, that's dicking around. That's not a stall. A stall is 3 to 4 weeks of no eating off plan. When I do this pattern, I see no change in my weight. Yeah, how many consecutive days does it take to see change? Every day. Why would you, like, let me ask you this, Cat Run. Why would you want to set yourself up to say, I want to know how many days I have to eat on plan to lose weight so then I can just eat off plan? To me, that is, I don't know if this is what's happening, but it's signaling, like a bat signal that, like, all right, for 5 days, I make myself do this, and that, like, how many days do I have to do this bullshit before I get a day where I don't have to worry about it? Why not set every day up for enjoyment? That does not mean you have to eat a sheet cake all the time, but there must be something going on during those 5 days where you don't like what you're planning. You're talking to yourself like ass about it, like doing the supposed tos, the shoulds, I have to, or thank God that's done. Like, where is the pleasure in the process? That's what I want for you guys, to start finding pleasure in the process. I know I'm not losing weight. I'm not as consistent with my 2 to 2 as I need to be. I've steadily been at 60% on track with my hunger scale. I've been working to improve my consistency for 2 months, but haven't. And I haven't lost weight in 6 weeks. Yeah, you're not going to lose weight with consistently overeating. Like, inconsistent 2 to 2 means consistent overeating. Because if you're eating before you're hungry, that's overeating. If you're eating to full, that's overeating. Our stomachs were never meant to be filled. Unless you are going to be fattening up for the famine. In the modern day, when we can get food whenever we need it, we don't need to be eating to full anymore. We need to be eating, like, just eat right below it. So my best advice for dialing in your two, start on the plus side, get used to eating a little bit less. You do not have to eat dramatically less. The first thing you got to do is biohack your brain. I don't know if it's biohack. You got to hack your brain to get comfortable leaving a little bit behind and then a little bit more until you start dialing in like, oh, this is what enough is. But first start with getting really comfortable with seeing some food left behind, or get really comfortable at serving yourself less and not having any more. One of those two things has to happen. How do we send the 10 days of plans and assessments to coaches to get feedback? Ask coaches. Send it to ask coaches. But guys, it really has to be the 10 days. Like, you need to create you a post. This is Lori. It would say Lori, her subject would be Lori, 10 days of plans. We need the plan. And then I also want to see, like, those answers to, I noticed these hunger cues. Are there any excuses? But guys, the only people that get to send 10 days of plan are people who are consistent. That means no overeats. Do not send us 10 days of food plans with overeats and then wonder why you're not losing weight. You have the tools you need to work on your overeating. Go to work on that. Journal about it. Ask questions about your thoughts of why you're overeating. Address the elephant in the room. But don't send us food plans and like, what should I tweak so that I can protect this overeating that I'm having? So it is clear to me that I'm not on a plateau, that I have been overeating. After losing 100 pounds, I know that I can maintain this while still not being perfect, but I want more. I want to lose 15 to 20 pounds. How do I figure out what I'm willing to give up to get there? Debbie, you just ask yourself. Rather than saying, like, what am I willing to give up? Just like, for this week, is there anything I can change? Does that mean, like, not having a yogurt? Does that mean, like, I'm going to eat 3/4 of my usual lunch? Am I going to sub out something? Try to mix things up. That's it. That's it. Like, that's how you choose. And you just pick some. There's no one thing that's going to be like, that's the magic that gets 15 to 20 pounds off. There's just going to be things that you're going to try. Anything you want to say about that one?
No. I think I think you handled it. That's good.
Can it be that my metabolism adapted? So should I eat less? Try eating a little less. Like, just challenge yourself, guys. A lot of you are so afraid to eat just a little bit less. Ask yourself, what would be the harm in eating a little less? What is the worst thing that's going to happen? For most of you, the worst thing that's going to happen if you eat a little less is you'll get hungry in an hour. Well, then eat again. Or the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to dread it because you've got some shit-tastic thoughts. Well, then change your thinking and don't dread it. Turn it into an experiment. Just go a couple of days to see what it's like. Just say, like, you know what? For 2 days, I'm going to eat a little bit less at breakfast and see what happens. But I think a lot of you say, like, when we say eat less, your brain imagines 2 or 3 days of barely eating and sitting around like, oh, dying to eat something. That is not what we mean when we say eat less. It's like, if you eat carrot sticks, leave 2 behind. If you eat, like me, I had some steak. I just left some steak behind. I've had this goal this week of 2 things. Decompressing. My big goal right now is to decompress before I eat anything. It is to literally, so like, I am not going to just go eat because it's time and I'm hungry. I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to, like, relax my brain a little bit. I'm going to think about the meal and how I want to enjoy it. Like, I want to get into a positive mindset. I want to lower the temperature of the adrenaline. Like, when I get off this call, I'm not going to the kitchen. It's the last place I'll go because I'm all hyped up and excited. I guarantee you, if I went downstairs and I'm hungry and I eat, I'm going to eat fast because my adrenaline's running from working. It ain't because I'm like, oh my God, I got to get mine. It's literally because I've got adrenaline and cortisol running through my veins. I don't want to do that to myself. And then the other thing that I'm doing is I'm like really slowing it down a little bit, leaving a little food behind, enjoying seeing it. I decided rather than thinking, I'm having to leave that food behind, that sucks. That has been my thought for so long. And I swear to God, the other day, and you know, I've had times where that hasn't been my thought, but it's like an old friend. It's come to visit for a while. And I'm like, time to go home, hussy. You need to go. And so I've been like purposely taking pleasure in seeing food left behind, deliberately thinking what I want to think when I see it, like, oh, that's so great. You're leaving food behind. You're getting more comfortable with it. This is a really good process. Mm-hmm. It's just as easy to deliberately think that and feel good as easy it is to just let it run on auto and sit there and stare at it and feel like something's gone wrong. All right, let's call on somebody. Joanne, I think. Joanne, y'all keep your hands up if you actually want to get coached. Joanne, I'm going to call on you. We're going to call on one more, guys, or call on one person.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about leaving food behind. It's just a few bites. It's a couple bites, and you can always get something else to eat. It's not like, you know, you eat and then you never get to eat again till the next meal. You can have something else. Revisit it if you need to.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. What can we coach you on today?
Well, I figured it out before the call started that I'm not on a plateau, that I just haven't really been honing in on my plus two. And so I'm kind of what that you were talking about, the person that we'd come on the call and say, I'm just not doing all the things. But what I also realized was with watching the good, better, best on foods, that I also have good, better, best thoughts, and I have good, better, best goals. And I've been really happy with being, you know, just 20 pounds away from my goal, because everything else is working great. I feel good. I'm exercising a lot, and I like how I feel. But I still, in the back of my mind, know that I want to get to that goal. So I think my plateau is a goal plateau more than a food plateau.
Well, it's still a food plateau because the food is preventing the goal. Yeah. So yeah, it's all kind of tied together. But if you really want to lose the 20 pounds, why not just eat a little less?
Yeah, exactly. That, and I, you know, I'm going to go that way, definitely.
Okay.
I just, so I don't really feel like I need coaching, but I wanted to say that it all goes together. It all, like, thoughts and the, my journaling, all of it starts fitting together, and actions, taking even more concise actions like that, leaving two bites behind instead of, you know, thinking, well, I have to do half of my meal, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. I think that a lot of you tend to, what I hear on the coaching calls is you hear us say, you need to change something or you need to eat less. And our black and white diet mentality is, oh, so now I've got to starve. It's like, nobody said starve. But that, I think, comes from years and years. Honestly, this is where I think it comes from. It's that little bit of diet mentality that we still have. Like, you know, our brain just doesn't forget things that we've done in the past. And so it goes to, like, so is now the time we're supposed to be miserable? Because we've always had, like, we've always thought that losing weight has to be misery. So for a lot of you who want to lose the last 5 to 20 pounds, watch your brains do this. I'm so happy here. It sounds like a good thought.
Yeah.
It's not useful for someone who wants to continue to lose weight. I'm so happy here can't just be the thought. It's like, of course I'm happy here. Just like I can be very happy in the process that it takes to lose the last 20. Because I think what happens is when that thought comes up, what I hear that's kind of going on underneath the surface is, I'm going to have to stop being happy to lose the next little bit, and then I'll get to be happy again. So I don't really want to transverse the part where we have to go back to not liking it. And it's like, what if we just decide to stay happy and figure out how can I lose the last 20 and be so happy and so proud and enjoy it and look forward to everything that I'm going to try and like figure that out. Like, I don't think our brains are going there. Our brains go to, so for the next 20, I'm going to need to give up this, do less of that. Like, we start automatically subtracting, and we talk about it in subtraction terms. It's like, so here's happy minus these things equals not so happy.
Absolutely. Or one that I tend to go with is, what am I willing to feel? And instead of thinking willing to feel happy, I'm like willing to feel like, you know, hungry a little bit more, or exercise a little bit more, or, you know, the punitive instead of the good thoughts.
Exactly. It's like we automatically go to the punitive. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I think it's okay to like prepare. Like, if you're going to eat a little less, like, yeah, my brain's probably going to throw up a little drama. But, you know, in my right mind, I also know that I could feel so proud at seeing those two bites. Like, we don't give space for, you know, what am I willing to feel? I'm willing to feel really proud of leaving food behind. I'm willing to feel really excited about trying some different foods that I haven't tried in a while. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, think right. about that willingness to not just be the suck that I'm willing to feel. It's like, right. what's the good stuff you're willing to feel? Because if you're going to be willing to feel the good things, it will force your brain to think the good things.
Yeah. Yeah. Good journal material for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Any other questions over here you think we need to address, or are they all pretty much been? Leave two bites behind or take smaller amounts. Is one more successful? I don't think one is more successful than the other. I think they do the same thing. It's just, I think it's like a matter of which one makes you more comfortable. Like, for me, sometimes, like, I just do both. Like, every now and then I go through periods where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to just sit there and be like, okay, you know, I need to make sure I leave my two bites behind. I just go ahead and pre-do it. I make the decision ahead of time. Then I have other times where I'm so like I just want to be that kind of person who leaves food, and I get excited about being that person. And so then I'm doing it the other way. So I think it's more about like which one feels really good to you, and then do that one.
I see one question over here, Corinne, that you might want to answer.
All right, which one?
At what point do you decide that you don't have the ability to eat 2 to 2? Trying to figure out if I should keep hitting my head against the wall.
Never. How about that as an answer? What the hell are you even saying? At what point should I give up on only eating when I'm actually physically hungry? At what point should I give up not stuffing myself? I want to know, like for you, I want you to think about this. Is it ever useful for me to consider that I'm just broken and can't figure it out? Because that's really what you're asking. No, it's never useful. What's more useful? Let me pick one side and let me get super comfortable with challenging myself to figure it out. So, like, let's say you're going to wait until you're hungry. Figure out, what is it going to take? Like, what kind of really good thoughts could you have about yourself? Like, I want to be someone who really knows when they're slightly hungry. And then ask yourself, when it comes to getting hungry, what are my thoughts about it? Because I will tell you, like, a lot of you have like this fear of being hungry. Well, then let's not give up until like, well, let me just give up on waiting to be hungry. It's like, what if I get over fear? what if I work through that and become someone who's very patient? Like, and for a lot of you who are worried about being hungry and fearful of being hungry, then start slow. Don't like think about what could be the minimum of just waiting a little bit for you, where it doesn't induce anxiety, panic, fear, and all these other things. Start with baby steps. Say, like, I know I typically want to just eat every 2 hours. So I'm going to wait till 2:15. Track how you're eating. Like your data, if you're doing your data, you'll know how often that you're eating. It will show you all your patterns. If you know that every day at 4 o'clock, you tend to go into the pantry and eat, say, like, you know what? Today, I'm going to do it at 4:15. And I'm just going to watch myself from 4 to 4:15 and prove to myself that I can wait. I don't even have to wait for hunger yet. I just want to prove to myself that I don't have to give up at 4 o'clock anymore. That I can just make a decision to eat at 4:15. It's all about hacking things. If you're not in a rush to solve it, then you won't want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on a protein shake as a meal replacement versus eating a meal? I don't care what you do, but I just like to chew. I would want to know why you want a protein shake. Now, some people drink protein shakes because they're like nurses and stuff. They have to slam it and be done because they are like, nope, I'm in a, like, I work, like, sometimes even teachers, when they're in school, like, I had a teacher one time tell me, she said, because of the way her schedule was, she had 9 minutes to actually eat lunch, pee potty, and do her things because of the way that she had to do lunchroom schedules. She's like, I just don't even have time to, she's like, I need to take a piss. Like, if I want to drink water, yeah. So I got to figure this out. She drank shake every day. She said, you know what I could do? I could slam a shake, go to the bathroom, and that would get me through the day. Like, I think those are fine, but just don't be drinking protein shakes. Like, I want to replace a meal so that I'm actually eating less calories. That's bullshit dieting mentality. Now, if you need to drink a shake or something for time's sake, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't want you guys thinking that, like, I always think that when somebody wants to drink a shake instead of eating a meal, it always says to me that there is some drama around actually eating food. All right, guys, did y'all like it? Let me see the comments. Somebody type in. I want to know. Do you like some duo coaching? So good. Game on. All
right. Oh, you know, look at all of it. Yeah.
We like the external validation around here.
We don't mind it at all.
That's right. All right, guys. I'm glad y'all liked it. I will see everybody. I don't know who's got Wednesday night. Nope, that's Kathy's on Wednesday at 5 o'clock for office hours. You will see me on Thursday at 5 p.m. I'm going to be talking to Krista St. Germain. We're going to be doing a call on grief. So if you are dealing with grief and you want to be coached or ask a Q&A from a master grief coach, she will be here. And then on... I'll see y'all Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Time for Q&A. And then there's also one other special call this week. Kathy is doing a call at 1 p.m. on Friday, Weekends, Trips, and Holidays, Planning Your Food with Kathy. So make sure you come in for that one too, all on Zoom. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Bye.
Bye, y'all. Bye.